The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Hi, you're very welcome back to Friday's edition of The Last Word. We're now going to talk about inflammatory bowel disease, which is a condition affecting around 40,000 people across Ireland. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Kieran Davis. Kieran, how are you getting on?
Very well, thanks.
And we've got Victoria Spillane, who's on the line as well. Victoria, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. We've brought yourself and Kieran back together because both of you are involved in a new episode of Gutcast, which is a podcast for people living with IBD, developed by Crohn's and Colitis Ireland, and also Johnson & Johnson as well. So the podcast has been out around about 4 days, so we said it was a good time to maybe chat to both of you. Victoria, if I can start for yourself, maybe you could give us a bit of an explanation here, because some people will hear about Crohn's, or they'll hear about IBS, or they'll hear about IBD, and possibly don't know the actual specifics around it. So could you tell me a bit about inflammatory bowel disease, just to kind of kick the conversation off in the widest way possible here?
Yeah, sure. So basically, IBD is an umbrella term. It's used to describe disorders that involve chronic inflammation of the digestive tract, and that includes Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Ulcerative colitis affects the large intestine, you know, the colon. That's the only part that will actually affect, whereas Crohn's disease can affect anywhere of the any part of the digestive tract, from the mouth all the way down to the back passage. So that can be a bit more complex at times to treat.
Okay, well, Kieran and Victoria both have Crohn's. So Kieran, maybe tell us a bit about your story here. So you were diagnosed late teens, so around 30 years now?
Yes, yeah, so over 30 years ago. So I just had an onset set of symptoms that wouldn't go away, and just they were just getting more severe as time went on, and went to the doctor with the milder symptoms, just didn't get any better. And then I was floored with anemia and fatigue, and that I just got very sick very quickly. And that actually was probably an advantage, because that forced me to go and get seen, rather than somebody who sort of has a more mild presentation and it just rumbles along. My doctor actually has described that she's worried about her patients who just have a more mild form, because inflammation can just rumble on and actually cause some damage. But because they're getting on with life and they can normalize the symptoms, they don't get help. But in my case, I actually would get very, very sick very quickly. But the upside of that was then I would get treated very quickly. And I was also very lucky that in most cases over the last 35 years that I've had Crohn's disease, that I have responded well to medication. That isn't always the case, and it can be a bit more complicated. But it's just important for people to really engage and develop that partnership with their doctors and healthcare teams, wider healthcare teams, to work on getting better and staying better.
How severe were your symptoms before you decided to go to the doctor then?
I was just extremely fatigued. I remember that I was unable to hold down food. I was getting extremely bad night sweats. Just put it down to, I'd just always been well. I had never been to a doctor, didn't know what a prescription was, didn't know what a referral to a consultant was. I was totally confused by the whole process. And I was just forced to call a doctor, because I just simply couldn't get up and function very well. And there was no reason for it. And it wasn't until I started really realizing that something was wrong here, and I had to do something. And I had kind of kept my symptoms from my parents as well, actually, strangely enough.
Why so?
And when they, I suppose, just think that you're being sort of blamed yourself, maybe I'm not getting enough sleep, or I'm out partying too much. Not that I was a party animal, to be honest, but at that age, I was going out, starting to explore drink and things like that. And as you do, but finally, I suppose I just had to, my parents found me just exhausted and flaked out after work one night and called the doctor. And then that caused me to, you know, was the trigger for me to go to my GP, who then ultimately referred me to a consultant in the hospital. And then the whole series of tests and working towards diagnosis began. And I was diagnosed after about 6 or 7 months, which actually 35 years on isn't, but by today's standards, that actually isn't too bad.
Mm. Victoria, for you, you were a little bit younger.
I was. So my symptoms started when I was 12, diagnosed at 13. Mine started in a rather unconventional way. I started with a pain in my left knee and lower back pain. And because I was a very active child, playing basketball and other sports, that's how I presented to the GP. And he just thought it was a basketball injury for months. As the months went on, the other symptoms of Crohn's disease did come on, such as diarrhea. I was going to the toilet up to 20 times a day. There was blood mucus in it, severe abdominal pain, inflammation of my eye. All my joints were very sore, chronic fatigue, loss of appetite. Everything that you could have basically with Crohn's disease at that time, you name it, I had it. And it took a good 12 months to actually get diagnosed. And as Ciarán, you know, can allude to as well, back then, inflammatory bowel disease was rather unheard of. And I think that was the case as well within the general practitioners within the country as well. You know, you never kind of jump to, oh, could this be Crohn's or ulcerative colitis with someone? So it took a while to get there. And it took a lot of times for my parents to be bringing me to the doctor time after time. I got to a stage where the doctor was saying, oh, was I being bullied in school? Did I have an eating disorder? All of this kind of thing to try and think of anything but, you know, in an actual issue with my digestive system. And I got to a stage, it was Christmas time, and I got to a stage where they just said enough is enough, and they brought me up to the A&E and the Cork University Hospital. And the gastroenterologist there at the time, Professor Fergus Shanahan, he just walked in and he said, who let this girl get so sick? The minute he saw me. And he could actually, he said, I hope it's not what I'm thinking, because she is so young. And I always remember my parents saying, what are you thinking? He said Crohn's disease. And yeah, I was in hospital then for a month and they did all the tests. And yeah, I ended up being diagnosed with Crohn's disease of the large intestine. It was the entirety of my intestine was affected, not just one section. The full lot was ulcerated, inflamed. And to be honest, they didn't think that there was any saving it at the time. So they actually had me scheduled for surgery to have it removed and end up with an ileostomy bag. To be honest, well, I actually at that stage, I was a person where I just wanted to be better. That's all I kept saying was, will I feel better if we do this? And they said, yes, but you will have a bag on your side and, you know, explaining all of that. And to be honest, I just wanted to be up on a boat again. And I said, okay. And they did call it off at the 11th hour. They decided to go down the route of just pumping me with very heavy steroids, IV steroids, to try and save it, because they said that I was so young. They did manage to save it for another few years, but that did mean a lot of, you know, in and out of remission through my teen years, which was tough. You know, I was always a person where I had a very good support network around me, and my parents, when I was diagnosed, did say you'll have to fight harder than others to have a normal life. And I am a very competitive person naturally, so I kind of almost went into competition with my own body to just not leave this thing keep me down. Obviously, I had my times. I was in and out of hospital, but eventually the time came when I was 24. All the drugs that were on the market at the time, biologics, everything that were there, they just all failed, basically. And I knew myself in the back of my head that I would need, that the day would come where I would end up with having to have the surgery. And I actually just approached the gastroenterologist and I said, the time has come. And they agreed. I think I made their job probably a little bit easier. The fact that I kind of knew this, you know, that I was able to come to terms with myself and help make that decision. So on the 21st of January, 2011, Gynae is what I call my ileostomy bag. Gynae was born. And to be honest, it saved my life. And I'm very grateful to have had the surgery. And it doesn't come without its issues as well at the same time.
No, a friend of mine got the bag a few years ago, and it was after a series of surgeries and treatments, and as you say, frustration about her treatment and the fact that they were saying that if you want to have a good quality of life, this is the only option. But still, it's a massive step to take, isn't it?
It is a massive step to take. As I said, it saved my life, because in the sense of that they found a fistula, which is a growth that you can get when you have Crohn's disease, when you have IBD, and that was actually leaking. And that went undetected in scans up to that point. And they only found it when they actually performed the surgery. And they said, if at the rate that it was leaking, if another 2 weeks, then I wouldn't be here, basically. So it did actually literally save my life. And I was in remission, Will, for a very long time afterwards. So it did improve my quality of life greatly. It really did. However, it has brought about mechanical issues in the last few years. I just had surgery in April of this year just to try and resolve some of those mechanical issues, in the sense of I'm getting a lot more obstructions. So there's a lot more blockages happening with the bag, which can be very painful. It has resulted in me being hospitalized. The Crohn's itself is asleep, as I say, but it's snoring. In the sense of my gut isn't inflamed right now, so I'm on no medication, but I do have joint issues. I still have eye issues, you know, inflammation of the eye, things like that. So that's how the way that I say that the Crohn's is asleep but it's snoring, that I still have other issues, not necessarily affecting the gut, and I do still get mouth ulcers, etc., and fatigue. But I do have the mechanical issues at the moment with the stomavag. But it's, as I said, look, when I kind of look at things in perspective, it's, you know, if I didn't have it, then I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have to kind of think of it that way.
Kieran, can you tell me about what your treatment's been like over the last 3 decades then?
Well, Victoria has had a very, very challenging time. And I just suppose like to say that not everybody will experience that level of severity. And just listening to Victoria, it's like, it is very important to realize that, you know, following Victoria's story, that you can see light at the end of the tunnel. It's just really, really important to tackle it head on and to have that partnership with your healthcare team and work with them towards getting better. I was, you know, I was having flares once. I responded very well to treatment initially. I had flares pretty much every 5 years until I was in my late 30s. And then it became a little bit more troublesome. And I suppose I hadn't been having any problems for so long that I didn't really recognize something like I was experiencing anemia. And it was affecting me for a long time. And I had experienced that, say, 15 or 16 years before, but didn't recognize it because I hadn't really been unwell. And eventually it was diagnosed and a simple shot of iron sorted me out. I did have to have some surgery after 25 years. It was, I suppose, a lot more straightforward than Victoria's experience. It was just that after many years of flares and getting well, parts of your intestine that are affected are fibrotic and they're just useless. Your food is, I think, is just spluttering through. So it was just time to get rid of it. And it was the best thing I ever did as well. It was very positive. I mean, the idea of surgery, people are very scared when they hear about surgery, but actually the purpose of surgery is to make things better. And in my case, it did. It made, I was experiencing symptoms. And as soon as I had the surgery and got better, I actually have very good memories of that time because I enjoyed the recovery. And just feeling that, yeah, I'm actually now able to get back on with my life and not have those symptoms anymore. But yeah, I'm just on long-term medication now. The treatment that's available is really, really good. Once you get into the system, whether it's public or private, it's really, really good. The availability of the more expensive high-tech or biologic drugs is available to anybody who needs it. And, you know, I think that there's been a major expansion in the provision of services around the country. They're extremely busy. And I think advice I would give to people is that if you do get an appointment and you have an appointment, say 3 or 6 months out, please try not to cancel that or postpone that, because I found it's very difficult to get another appointment. So once you're in the system, stay in the system, even when you're well, keep going to your doctor, keep those appointments. And as soon as you feel unwell, that's a lesson that I've learned even when I was giving advice to people through my involvement in CCI, is that if you get really unwell and you just feel that there's something there that's not right, don't leave it there. Just get straight onto your, usually you have an IBD nurse specialist in most hospitals, if not all hospitals these days, and they are your route towards getting better. So don't leave it and get straight onto your healthcare team, and they want to hear from you in the early stages if it is a flare, because they'll find it's much easier to get you better at that stage than leaving it go on.
Well, if you want to hear more from Kieran and from Victoria, you can check out Gutcast as well. It's available at jansenwithme.ie/Gutcast. It's also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you pick up your podcasts. Thanks to both of you. We'll take a short break. We'll be back with the 5 at 5.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.